Hello and welcome to Charity Chat, the ACNC's podcast. In this episode, we're going to discuss the idea of charities investing in their boards. We'll look at the importance of a good board and some of the advantages that come with investing in the capacity of a board. My name is Matt Crichton and I work in the education team here at the ACNC. And joining me to discuss this issue is the Commissioner of the Australian Charities Not-for-Profits Commission, Susan Pascoe. Hello, Susan.
Hello, Matt.
What do we mean by investing in a charity's board and its leadership?
Often the term investing connotes some kind of a financial transaction.
Yep.
And indeed, investing in a board might mean that you are paying for the professional learning that's undertaken. But of course, there are many ways in which you can work to assure yourself that a board is well equipped to handle its governance role, some of which might be through mentoring, some of which might be through formal professional learning, such as courses like the Australian Institute of Company Directors, Directors course, and some of it might be through continual time slots on the board's agenda for an update, be it on compliance requirements, be it on any changes to the law, be it on just good practice in relation to strategy, to stakeholder relations or whatever. But when you think about the critically important role that a board has in oversighting the work of a charity, it's really very important that you're confident that all of the members of that board understand their role in setting strategic direction, in overseeing regulatory compliance, in ensuring that there is good financial management practice in the board, and critically ensuring that the charity is working to the achievement of its vision and mission, and indeed its stated objects. And they're very important roles for a board, and of course the board generally selects the CEO and oversights the work of the CEO and the management team. So when you think about it, these are substantial responsibilities. They are no lighter for boards in the not-for-profit sector than they are for government or commercial boards, and they need to be taken with the same commitment to investing in the individual board members and in the board as a collective.
Right, right. And I think that's a really important point, that it is still running an organisation and requires a level of capacity to be able to meet all the challenges that that organisation may face.
Indeed.
Why do you think there is a reluctance, or at least a perceived reluctance within the charity sector to invest, and as you mentioned, it's not just money, invest in the board, invest time, invest money, amongst other things?
When you look at the charity sector and the resources available to most charities, not all, they are often cash-strapped. They are often reliant on funding from external sources, and indeed roughly 50% of charities are in that category. I think there's also a mindset that says, I need to assure the donor that the money that they give me will be used for a charitable purpose. And so they don't see that legitimate administration costs and sensible professional development for the board are part of those costs. I would argue that they are.
Right.
I would argue, in fact, that a donor ought to be wary of giving to an organisation that says 100% goes to the charitable work.
Right, right.
If that conduct of that charitable work excludes normal, sensible management, administration and governance. And indeed, if you think about donors giving, if they're, say, giving to a Meals on Wheels, you can't deliver the meals if you don't have the cars.
Right, of course.
You must make sure, or a team of volunteers willing to use their cars. Whichever way you do it, you need to understand the regulatory environment in which that occurs. What kind of insurance exposure or cover do you need when volunteers are taking on that activity? What kind of training do you need for the volunteers? So I know that that's a step away from the board, but I think it's a very complementary example to say that boards need to allocate some of their expenditure on the learning of the board itself, but also the operation of the charity and the learning of the team within the charity.
And being able to do that may lead to long-term benefits that you can't see right at the moment. So if you do invest in it now, it may lead to innovation or new projects or an expansion of the organisation because the board was able to improve its skills or use its skills in the right way.
I think that's very true. If you think about it from the point of view of strategy, a board that keeps itself well informed, and we want boards not to just think with a compliance mindset, we want them to think much more broadly. Compliance, of course, is a fundamental, but they need to be thinking, where does this charity want to be in 5 years' time or in 10 years' time? To do that, you need to understand the broad geopolitical and economic environment in which the charity is operating. You need to have enough board members who've got strategic skills to move in that direction and to work with the management to develop a strategic plan. That's the board setting itself a long view. But in bringing it back to the more immediate work of the board needs to be able to be confident that the charity is meeting all of its regulatory requirements, because that comes back to the good conduct and the reputation of the charity, and the board is fundamentally responsible for ensuring with management the good reputation of the charity.
And how can charities set about changing this idea that every second of the board's time or every dollar, every cent donated to the charity must go, as many people would describe, to the cause, directly to the beneficiaries? What would you say to charities who are recognising the need to invest in the board, but not really sure how to sell that to the supporters?
Look, one way that charities can think is that they can think about progressing development of the board with a multifaceted approach. So, for example, there may be some formal accredited training that board members enter into. And, of course, Australia is fortunate to have in many ways the global gold standard in the Australian Institute of Company Directors course. But there's also courses run by many of the member-based bodies, the Governance Institute of Australia, the Chartered Accountants, Justice Connect here in Victoria and in New South Wales, that's running courses dedicated for charities. So there's a lot of professional learning available, and it's not always expensive. Many of these organisations are attuned to the pockets and the needs of the not-for-profit sector. So I'd say seek a diverse range of activities. I began by saying formal accredited programs. In addition, you can set aside time at the board, maybe not every board meeting, but every couple of board meetings, where you have an update that makes sure that everybody understands their responsibilities and liabilities. And of course, I think a good board will also take time for strategic planning, be it on an annual basis or perhaps slightly longer time frame, and then checking back. To those who would say every penny should be spent on the cause, this is actually part of the cause, because you need to have a good infrastructure for the cause to be worthwhile. You might want to put to people who have a fixedness about, you know, the cause, which is important, do they not want the programs evaluated?
Right.
Do they not want the staff trained?
Yep.
Do they not want them in habitable offices?
Right, right.
If they have vehicles that they need for their work, do they not want them to be insured and well maintained?
And the list goes on. Yeah.
Yeah, you could go on forever. But I think that sometimes it's worth putting back to people some of the basics that they might want to label under administration or a related cost, but actually a well-run organisation can't manage without that. We're not talking about flying people business class. We're not talking about, you know, extravagant events. What we're talking about is doing the job and doing it well.
And it's important for sustainability too. If an organisation wants to survive longer than its next cycle, then this is all adding to it. And just finally, there may be a lot of people listening who aren't in a large or even medium, small to medium-sized charity and would say, we're tiny, we don't have enough money, we can't afford anything like courses. Would the principles still apply, even if the larger courses or whatnot aren't really appropriate. Would the principle of investing in a board still apply to these small organisations?
Absolutely. If you think about what might be available that's free of charge, the website, the ACNC website, is absolutely free. Get on there. There's hundreds of pages of material. We conduct around every 18 months series around the country, Ask ACNC. They're completely free.
Yep.
Make it, and I might add, we have people travelling hours to get to those sessions because they value them.
Yeah, right, right.
There are organisations, including some of the professional bodies, that do have some free or low-cost events for not-for-profits. I mentioned earlier Justice Connect. I'd say that they are a body that are particularly conscious of the needs of the small, rural and regional not-for-profits, and that they are often cash-strapped, some of those organisations. So I think if you cast around, the websites of the state-based regulators often have very good information on them. I think you'll find that you can get information that you need. You'll find even podcasts such as these are freely available. And of course, in any community, there are people who are prepared to offer pro bono some of the expertise that they have. So it's worth thinking about where you might be able to access, whether it's a local lawyer who might be prepared to come and talk to you about your responsibilities and liabilities as a board member, even a member from a state or federal government, you know, business development agency that might be prepared to come and talk to you. ACNC, the state-based regulator, I could go on.
There are plenty of avenues.
Plenty of avenues that don't have to be costly. And I think I'd want to assure people that the ACNC does understand that the small volunteer-run charities have particular challenges.
Yep.
And we know from the data that I mentioned in an earlier podcast that we've got close to a third that are operating with revenue under $50,000 per annum. So we know it's very, very challenging, but I would encourage them to seek these freely available sources of information.
Which is a good way to reiterate that this is not all about money. It's quite often about just making the time to learn the things you need to learn or learn the things that will help you do your job better as a board member.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks very much for your time today, Susan. That's just about all the time we've got for this topic, although as we've demonstrated, we could go on and on and on. But I think there's a lot of people out there in the charity sector who appreciate your words and the advice on how they can improve their own role on their charity board.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for your time, and thanks for everyone for listening.
Check out other episodes of Charity Chat and other free resources, including guides, fact sheets, and webinars on our website at acnc.gov.au. Also, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe on iTunes or wherever you happen to access it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.